Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us if you just tuned in. Welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. JBSBA.com is the place where you can go to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. It comes by email, by the way, and it is free. And you can subscribe yourself right there on the website. Or if you decide that you, if you subscribe and you decide that you want to unsubscribe, you can do that yourself too. Just you take care of all that on the website. No problem at all. And I'm excited about having our good friend Governor Pete DuPont back on the show. Governor DuPont is a former governor of Delaware, former congressman from Delaware, former presidential candidate, which, you know, in a lot of ways, I wish he'd run again, and but he's probably too smart to do that now. He's chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis. That's his current gig. And but what we're really happy about is that he's our friend. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, you're good to have me on again.
It's good to have you back. You're always welcome on the show. As you know, my microphone is your microphone. You wrote an article recently in for the Wall Street Journal, I think, in their opinion journal, called The New Deal. And I'll tell you, Governor, I've been trying to study this Social Security reform issue the best I can. We've done some shows, and I've read a lot about it. But I've never seen anybody put the facts and the figures unabashed, unbiased, unpartisan, basically, especially as far as the facts are concerned, down as succinctly and as plainly as you did in this article. And I want to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you very much. That's pretty high praise. I wish I'd recorded that.
Well, we actually did record it, so you'll be able to hear that again. But, Governor, you wrote this in January, and give us the rundown of some of, you know, never mind, folks, if you're for it or against it, as they say in the country, if you're for it or against it, never mind that, just listen to what Governor DuPont says about the real facts about Social Security, where it is, not just today, but where it is going. Governor DuPont, you're on.
Well, Jim, I was on Fox News the other day with former Senator John Breaux, and we were we were talking about Social Security, and I started off with a number to try to get it in perspective, so you can kind of get your brain around it. The number is $2.2 trillion, a lot of money, but that's the
that's by the way, that's about 1/5 of the national GDP.
That's just about right. That's just about right. Well, that $2.2 trillion, that's the extra amount, the surplus over the next 9 years that's going to be paid by working people into Social Security over and above the money that's paid out to senior citizens in benefits.
Never mind what's already been overpaid. You're talking about in the next 9 years from today forward.
That's correct.
Wow.
$2.2 trillion is coming in. So the first question is, what's going to happen to that extra money that Social Security doesn't need to pay out benefits at this time? Well, Congress is going to spend it. They're going to spend every penny of it. None of it's going to be saved. None of it's going to be invested. Every year, as the Social Security money comes in, Congress spends every dime that's not needed to pay out benefits.
And gives us an IOU.
A little piece of paper in a filing cabinet that's an IOU, but it's not a government bond. It's just an IOU. So the real Social Security debate is whether Congress ought to spend that extra money or let working people invest it in their own retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after all, it's your money. You're paying it in. Why can't you save it in an investment account, put it into the marketplace, let the marketplace grow it, and use that as part of your benefits when you retire some years from now? Now, that's what the whole argument is really about.
And, you know, Governor DuPont, on this show about less than a month ago, Steve Forbes came up with two or three really good ideas for where to put that money that would be pretty darn safe.
Oh, there's lots of good places. I mean, the best example to use, because we're talking about the federal government, is a thrift savings plan that all federal government employees are allowed to go into. If you put $10,000 into the Social Security Trust Fund back in 1988, which is the year I started talking about private Social Security accounts, you put that $10,000 into the Social Security Trust Fund, it'd be worth about $11,700 today. But if you would put it into the government employee thrift savings plan in 1988, it'd be worth $42,000 today. Now, that's a pretty big difference, and that $42,000 could be ours, could be every working person money to retire on.
Exactly, and the thing is the model that the governor's talking about actually does exist. Just you and I don't have access to one of those yet. 22, we'll be right back with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont. Stay with us. We're back at 17:10. I'm Jim Lysingame, the small business advocate, having a great time with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont, one of the smartest guys I know, and a great American, ladies and gentlemen. Governor, we're talking about Social Security reform, and again, I want to encourage people. Where can they find this article? I would like to get this in the hands. Yeah, I've got a copy, but
Well, but if you go on to www.opinionjournal, all one word.
Right.
opinionjournal.com. Down the left-hand side, you'll find a list of the writers, and you click on my name, and it gives you brings you right up to the last column I wrote, whatever that was about, and then you can go back in the index, and you can find this one.
January 26th,
right, and it's a couple of columns back in there, and it's got a whole lot of Social Security information in it, as you were discussing.
I hope you'll find it, folks. It's short and sweet. It's to the point. It's the most succinct and accurate information I've seen. There is some opinion in there, obviously, but whether you agree with the governor or not, the information is accurate. The numbers are accurate. Governor, you mentioned $2.2 trillion that's going to be overpaid in the next 9 years, that if we don't do something, the government, the Congress is going to spend that money and give us a little IOU for that. But here's my next question. How much money doing that same kind of thing have they already taken from Social Security and spent? How much is that dollar? How much is that total?
Oh my gosh, they've been spending $12 trillion.
So 11 or 12 trillion since they started doing this, since they started basically looting the Social Security Trust Fund.
Mm-hmm.
They've already stolen 11 or 12 trillion. So let me ask you this question. Does anybody know if that 11 or 12 trillion, which, by the way, the 2005 gross domestic product for the entire production of the United States is probably going to be about 11 trillion. Governor, if we had all of that 11 trillion in an account right now earning interest or invested somehow, would we ever have to worry about Social Security?
No, and that's why President Bush and a lot of people have been pushing for these individual accounts, because if you had been able to put your Social Security surplus into an individual thrift savings type account,
like employees of Congress,
federal employees can do.
Uh-huh.
You'd have had a return of over 5% a year on that, and Social Security would be solvent.
So, Governor, I don't have my own account of money in Social Security. Neither do you.
That's correct.
Do the people who are members, who are federal employees, who have this thrift savings account you were talking about, do they have an amount of money in their own account under their own name?
Oh, absolutely right. They own the money, which is the point of the $2.2 trillion. If you could put that into a Jim Blasingame investment account, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, you'd get back 5% a year. And that would be your money, not the government's money. You could spend it when you retire. If you died the day after you retired, those hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars would go to your wife. That's not something that happens under Social Security. So it's really an ownership question, and that's what President Bush is really focused on in his whole effort to sell this, that people ought not to be giving extra money to Congress to spend. People ought to own their retirement account.
Well, see, Governor, here's the thing I think maybe people may be missing the point on. This is what you're, and this is the point you're making. I think it's the correct one. And that is that we, a lot of people are debating whether it's a good idea for people to manage their own retirement. And that's not, that's like a secondary issue, maybe even a tertiary issue. The primary issue is, what do we do? What can we do to get this money out of the hands of the government,
well,
out of the hands of Congress? That's the
right.
First thing.
That's
then we decide
right.
What to do with it after that.
They're simply the Congress is simply spending it. And I think one of the reasons that Congress is so nervous about this is they say, well, my gosh, if you take this $2.2 trillion away from us, where are we going to get the money to spend?
Right.
That's a tough question from their perspective.
That's like an addict asking you where they're going to get their next fix, isn't it?
Exactly right. But the point is, this is our money as working people that's going in, and the Congress doesn't need it to pay benefits now, and we ought to be able to invest it and own the accounts as opposed to having the Congress spend it on all the different things they spend it on.
Well, it's the height of disingenuousness, Governor, for Congress to know that there already is a model that they and other federal employees can pay into and have been able to do for over 20 years. It's disingenuous to them to know that that's available to other people and to not want it to be available to the rest of us.
Well, and it's available, you know, it's available to union workers. Unions have pension plans like that. It's available to AARP members. AARP is one of the great foes of the private Social Security
right.
account. But as an AARP member, you can.
They've
put
got a
money
conflict
in,
of interest, though, in terms of, in my opinion, in terms of you know, their argument. It's a complete conflict of interest.
Well, it's the opposite of what they say to their members, and the question is, if AARP members can have it, if federal employees can have it, why can't the rest of us have it?
And I'll tell you something else. This is something that the government of Chile has been doing successfully too, isn't it?
Oh, they started it, what, 25 years ago?
They're one of the international models, and it's very successful down there, isn't it?
It's been very successful for 25 years, and I think another dozen countries have started doing it, and we're getting at the end of the list.
Absolutely. Folks, what we got to do is we got to take this drug of choice, the Social Security excess funds, out of the hands of our congressmen and our senators. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Governor Pete DuPont.
This is your big debut.
Back at 7:10. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest. He's the chairman of the National Center for Policy Analysis. Governor, give us the website, please.
www.ncpa.org.
Folks, if you'd like to find out the information that this organization cranks out every day, really, about public policy and it's so well written, it's so well done, I encourage you to check it out. Go to their website, find out the things that they have, and if you might even decide that you'd like to join their organization and be a little more active in what they do, and they can find out how to do that too at the website, can't they, Governor?
They sure can, and it's actually a place you can go in and put in your current salary, and it'll tell you how much your own private retirement account would get you compared to what Social Security is going to pay you, and that's really interesting.
That's worth the trip, folks. ncpa.org. And they're not going to ask you for your Social Security number or anything like that. Just put your salary number in there, and that's a great way to find out about this. Governor, why has the president been having so much trouble? I mean, if people would listen to you and me, I think we could sell this thing. But the president seems to be having trouble selling this thing.
Well, it's a complicated thing, and if you start out trying to explain all the details, you really get, you know, you get into the swamp pretty quickly. But I think the president has, first of all, he's raised the issue. A lot of people are conscious of it. A lot of people realize that the Social Security system's in real trouble, and in a few years, the Congress is going to have to either raise the payroll tax or cut the benefits. But if the president had focused a little more on the ownership thing, the ownership aspect of it, I think that would have been some help. You know, President Clinton back in 2002 was in favor of individually owned accounts. He pointed out what I just pointed out: how much more money you can make if you put your money in the federal thrift savings plan than if you just leave it for Social Security. And so a lot of people are for it, but you got to get this idea across that there's $2.2 trillion out there, and if we don't own it, the government's going to spend it on something else. We're not going to get it back.
Well, Governor, his problem is not just with the Democrats. And with some of the lobbying organizations like AARP, he's got some problems in his own ranks, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
The Republicans aren't supporting him.
Liberal Republicans are very uneasy about it. But you know, I think the president's done a pretty good job of getting it in the front headlines, front page of the paper every day. And I think he's made some headway with it. But he's going to have to come up with a specific plan here in the next month or so, in order to say, here's what I want the Congress to pass, and here's what it would mean to you in terms of financial dollars for your retirement.
The best thing to me is what you've been saying, Governor. They've already spent $11 trillion of your money that should have been in the trust fund. They spent it on stuff that pork barrel stuff. Maybe we benefited from it, but it wasn't where it was supposed to go. They're going to spend $2.2 trillion more dollars over the next 9 years of our money, and then they're going to, when they run out of money and they have to pay the bill to the retirement, Social Security retirement, they're going to raise our taxes to do
that. Well, they're either going to have to raise taxes by about 50% or cut benefits by a third, and
right,
either one of those choices are just terrible.
That's exactly right. And let me ask you a question about the chances of the president getting something done this year, moving us. You know, we don't have to have a touchdown. Maybe just a field goal would work. What are the chances this year?
Well, I think he's going to get it through the House. That's Republican controlled, and they're pretty disciplined. When he gets it over to the Senate, it's going to be much tougher, but I'd like to see the debate and I'd like to see the votes. You know, one thing with dealing with a legislator, you always want to make legislatures vote. Legislators talk, you know, I'm for this, I'm against that. But when you have to vote in the last analysis, you really have to vote your conscience. And it's a lot easier to talk about stuff than it is to vote against it. So I think the president needs to tighten the screws and get the bill through the House and get that vote on the Senate floor and see what happens.
Do you think that the Senate vote this year will fail and then it'll wind up being maybe just this will be a dry run for the next cycle?
Well, that's possible. I don't have any idea. I mean, I think if you voted on it today, it'd be 51-49 either way. And it's hard to tell
But all he needs is 51, but he's got to get it to the floor, doesn't he?
Exactly right.
And that has to go by the 60% filibuster.
Well, they could filibuster it, but I that's politically pretty tough to filibuster against giving people retirement accounts that they actually own.
Governor DuPont, thank you for being here. Good job today. You've done a great job of helping us understand this very complicated issue, and we're looking forward to next time already.
Well, Jim, thanks very much.
Good job, sir. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right. I'll see you next time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.